And so we have the same thing. We have the Spirit dwelling us. And also, God has told us He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we know at all times the Lord is with us. And in some sense, we have an advantage over Joseph because of the Spirit dwelling in, because of our knowledge of the Lord, this word the Lord here. No offense to Joseph, but he only knew so much. We just heard a wonderful gospel message. We know the Lord, not just as the Creator. We know Him as our Redeemer also. And this is a wonderful thing. And just kind of to tie what you said, Joey, in with what Uncle Randall said, because our walk and our way doesn't just affect us. It affects those around us. Because Joseph was with the Lord and he walked with the Lord, and it says he was a prosperous man, people around him prospered. Potiphar prospered. We'll read that he became chief of the jail. I don't know if he brought any prospering to the jail, but we read that he brought a lot to Egypt. He got all the money in the land. He got cattle. He got houses. He made Egypt the strongest nation in the world at that time. They had total control of everything. On the other hand, you can have a man like Jonah, who's walking far from the Lord, and he gets into a ship trying to escape from the Lord, and look at what he does to the people around him. The people around him were threatened by their lives because of the situation, the spiritual situation he was in, that because he was far from the Lord and trying to run from the Lord had put those around him in danger. So our walk and our ways will even affect unbelievers, possibly. You know, if you're on a plane and the Lord has a purpose for you in life, that He wants you to get somewhere and preach the gospel, that plane will not crash. No matter what weather is going on, if the Lord wants you in this place, because you are there, you will keep those around you safe. And so there's a certain sense where our lives affect those around us, whether they're unbelievers or believers. And obviously, if they're unbelievers, we can have a great effect and give them the gospel.
So we see that, I like how Darby has a note on verse 2, which says Joseph was a prosperous man. It says, a man that caused prosperity. I'm going to just build on what Matt just said, that he brought prosperity everywhere he went. Jonah brought poverty, because not only were they in danger, they ended up throwing everything off the boat before they threw him off the boat. And just thinking about this as a type of our Lord Jesus, we know it says of Him that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. The Lord made us prosper through His poverty. And we see here Joseph bringing prosperity to others. I wonder how we view ourselves whenever we have a job, whether it's some part-time job, just selling stuff at the mall or whatever it is, or in the corporate world, whatever it is that we do. Do we view ourselves as, oh, I'm just here to put in my 9-to-5 or 9-to-3 or whatever your shift is, as soon as the clock hits my time to leave, I'm running out the door. Oh, if I see something on the floor that should be picked up, oh, I'm not going to pick it up. That's not my job. Oh, I see something that should be, well, I'm not going to, that's not my job. That's not my job. My job is this, and I'm going to do my job. That's all I'm going to do. Not an inch more. That's the attitude that I confess I struggle with at times. Don't tell anyone. And many of us in our schoolwork or at home, if mom and dad say, go do this. All right, well, you said do this. Well, why didn't you do that? Well, you didn't say do that. You only said do this. So I did this and I didn't do that. But you saw that needed to be done too. Well, you didn't say anything, so I didn't do it. That attitude Joseph didn't have. Joseph's attitude was, how can I make you better off? How can I make this man's house prosper? It's not just, he was a good luck charm. Because Joseph is sitting there, the plants are growing faster, all on their own, they're producing more fruit, all on their own, money's falling from the sky. No, he wasn't a good luck charm. He was, by his attitude, he was serving in such a way, motivated by love, and he was working extra hard. He was going the extra mile. He was doing what the Lord Jesus would later on tell us to do. If somebody compels you to walk a mile, go with him twain. Somebody, wants this, do that too. That's the attitude that Joseph displayed. This is very practical. In order to demonstrate that we as Christians are not like the world, in order to demonstrate that we know the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, we have to be like this, where we don't just do exactly all that we have to do and not a little tiny bit more. No, we have to go the extra mile. We have to do more. We have to be motivated by love for the lost that are around us. And if you should happen to be doing something for a fellow believer, you should be motivated by love for that believer. You want to help your brother out. You want to help your sister out. That's, I think, part of what we see here in Joseph being a man that caused prosperity to those around him. It was an active thing.
And the thing that I would like to highlight is not that he only brought prosperity to others. Others saw that the Lord was with him. And that's a very important principle. That's the beginning of things that are taking place, if you want to put it this way, while he is in the workforce. That the master saw, he observed that the Lord was with him. And the challenge to us, that in our, you know what, even in the family setting, what do people observe in me? Do they observe that the Lord is very precious? Do they observe that the Lord is with me? Or sometimes we don't give them any reason to observe anything different in me, because we act and behave like the rest of the people of this world. In Joseph's case, there was something that was visible in the sight of men, that they could see and they could observe that the Lord was with him. And that's a challenging thought, dear brethren. What we do in a day of conference, I like to put it this way, we talk. It's reality. I mean, nothing wrong with the exchange and talking, nothing. It's the right thing. That's what conference is all about. But in a setting of a conference, all what we can do today is talk. But the challenge is, when you go to school on Monday, if you still have school, or if you are going to work on Monday, what are people going to see in me as an effect of the word of God upon my soul? Joseph was a display of Jehovah in his working place. And I wonder, you and me, if you will come and ask my colleagues at work, what is unique about this young man?
Unique? What is unique?
Nothing is unique. But how wonderful of a testimony when people can look at a person and say, you know what, maybe they want to call you different, that's okay, but this is unique. Maybe they want to call you his cuckoo, his religious, all these terms. It's quite all right. As long as they see that there is something different, and that difference is not because of you. That difference is because of the Lord makes a great and leaves a great impression upon others. An older brother one time said that most of the people in this world have never read the Gospels. They have never read the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, nor the Gospel of John. The only Gospel they can read is your Gospel and mine, in the way I behave and in the way I present the Blessed Savior.